Hi, you're listening to What's the Schemata, a schema therapy podcast for therapists. With ISST accredited schema therapy supervisors and trainers, Chris Hayes and Rob Brockman. For more information on schema therapy, visit our website, schematherapytraining.com.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to episode 43 of
What's the Schemata?
Yes, this is the monthly discussion on everything schema therapy, and I'm here with Dr. Rob Brockman. Rob, how are you?
I'm doing great, Chris. I'm doing great, mate, because today we have a very special guest, Dr. Julia Andre, currently practicing out of Bali, Indonesia, one of our favorite places. Mm-hmm. And she's going to be talking to us about a few things, but we're going to be having a big focus on a little movement we're seeing in the trauma field at the moment. And it seems schema therapy getting involved, which is intensive approaches to trauma treatment.
Now, just a mini plug. We often plug things in our podcast. We've got the upcoming Schema Solution course, Schema Therapy Solution for Everyday Living. It's a self-help course, a little bit like Reinventing Your Life. Yeah. That's been just about to publish in the next couple of weeks. If not, if you're listening to it, it's probably out. So you might want to check out the website. This is for the general public, Rob, isn't it?
You were talking about it? This is a course that we've generated between myself, Chris, and Wendy Bihari. We're very passionate about this particular course, you know, because we really believe in the model. We really believe that knowledge about schemas and coping styles and core emotional needs probably is important for everybody, you know, if you're a human being. So, and to be honest, I've often been in a situation where I've had either a friend, a colleague, even family members who might not yet be ready to engage in therapy, but who might benefit from something like a self-development course focused on schemas and coping. So this is where we're coming from. It we hope that as many people get involved as possible. And it's been a real hoot so far doing the course and going through the process. I've really, really enjoyed it and working with Chris and Wendy. So if that sort of thing interests you, head over to schematherapysolution.com. So without further ado, we have Dr. Julia Andre.
Thank you so much for having me here today and giving me this opportunity to talk about one of my most favorite topics. Yeah, schema therapy, and especially in this intensive format for today.
Totally, totally. So before we get started, I thought it would be good maybe to talk a little bit about the fact Julia has been doing schema therapy accreditation for a little while now. We met a few years back in Hong Kong doing level one and level two.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, something that got me really interested to hear more from you, Julia. One was the book that you wrote, but also you're doing some really interesting work working out of Bali, doing an intensive format of schema therapy. So I thought it'd be really interesting to have you on and talk about your work working with trauma populations in this intensive format. So that's what we've got in store for you today.
So Julia, tell us more about your perspective and your view on trauma, complex trauma, single incident trauma, and its avenue into schema therapy. Like, how would you define things, or how do you see things?
Yeah, that's actually good question. Like, I think the first time I learned about schema therapy and all those different schemas, it's that to understand what are actually really schema. And as more as I understood, like schemas, how they kind of build, I could see like the trauma behind those schemas, and like especially like not those single incident traumas. Oh, this car accident that happened to me can also relate to a schema, but far more this like complex trauma, especially like attachment trauma, so early onset trauma. And I can see all those schemas: emotional deprivation, this form of omission trauma, defectiveness, abandonment, social isolation. Yeah, really like this whole group of schemas that are related to like attachment and relationships. So I kept on focusing on in my work.
Yeah. What do you think, how would you consider the main difficulties that you encountered when you're dealing maybe with more the complicated and more kind of complex trauma kind of populations?
Yeah. I think one of the most difficulties that those kind of traumas are quite deep and they're quite hidden and protected with all kind of coping modes, and they build a whole internal system to keep like functioning, at least on the surface level. And like, it's quite hard to really get to those most wounded parts, right? To really get in touch with this inner child and work through this, because like all kind of protectors might like jump into the sessions, or they might not have the luxury to go there because immediately after 50 minutes they need to go back to work or they have other responsibilities. Yeah. And I really felt like those clients need more time. Yeah. To be really able to get in touch with those parts where they usually like had to leave them behind almost, right? To keep on going with life.
It's quite a bit of interest in intensive trauma processing. I know there's a couple of Dutch programs where they've looked at, you know, two or 3 weeks, you know, live in EMDR schema, the whole lot every day. I mean, what do you find, you know, this approach is, you know, how do you find your approach in dealing with some of these problems, you know, and getting some solutions? How do you find your practice?
Yeah. I think why I changed a little bit from the maybe traditional schema therapy setup, just like the practical setup, is like to believe like, okay, trauma, first of all, the body keeps a score. It's more like a holistic matter. And then the second part is like, as I said, we need more time. Mm-hmm. And like sometimes if you would dip into one of the most wounded parts and like, and then it's like, okay, goodbye. Let's see each other next week. It's like we kind of opened up a wound. And even though we can try to close it and to stabilize and bring up the healthy part or create a safe place, whether we use EMDR or schema therapy language, at the end of the day, it's open. Yeah, we can only like just like try to cover it. And then they need to wait again, like another week or maybe even 2 weeks till they can work again with that. And maybe things are a bit more settled. And then they might not even want to come back, or they don't want to open it up.
So there's more opportunity to avoid things, I guess. That there's less, when you get at an intensive format, there's less opportunity to avoid and run and the coping modes to sort of take over, I'm thinking.
So why don't we, I was going to say, why don't we back it up a little bit and I guess we talk about how it is you got into this more intensive format, or even actually, why don't we describe what is an intensive schema therapy format, and then the story of that and how you got into this.
I mean, it starts actually quite a few years ago. I looked into those EMDR intensives, which is growing in the US. So there they would see like clients for EMDR treatment up to 6 to 7 hours a day, a couple of days in a row. And I was quite intrigued by this. And like, what is this about?
Yes. Julia says, this is for me. Let's do this.
That sounds good. Yeah. And then I also parallel had this like feeling, especially with my clients with complex trauma, they're like, I need more time. Yeah, so they would even ask me for more time. So I would start just extending sessions gradually, like instead of 50 minutes, I would do 100 minutes, maybe 150 minutes, or I would see them twice a week. Yeah, maybe 90 minutes, 90 minutes each. So because I felt like, oh, I need this extra more. Yeah, this is how this all started. And it was going really well. And I would do like, so the schema therapy setup, sometimes including some EMDR elements into that. And then I had this opportunity to move to Bali actually exactly 2 years ago. And I always wanted to treat trauma more holistically. And I said like, okay, there's no better place than Bali. So I said like, okay, how do we integrate all those other additional modules that can help to release? Yeah. And be like quite complementary to like the trauma, the therapy work. And that's when we started to build like this literally 28 days intensive holistic trauma retreat in Bali. Yeah, very, very long word. But like we really built a 28 full program of like within a total of 40 therapy sessions, just like psychotherapy, schema therapy, 10-hour sessions per week. And then they have additional modules.
Say that again. That's 10 sessions per week.
10 sessions per week.
And 10 like, sessions per week. And for how many weeks? Like a month?
28 days.
4 weeks.
So this is 40 sessions. Yeah.
40 sessions.
My mathematics checks out. Okay.
That's a good question because very often when I tell this to people, they're like, ooh, what? Oh, yeah, like one session, that's a lot. You know, don't come me with like 10 sessions per week. But it looks maybe bigger than it is. Yeah.
Well, we all do probably 10 sessions a week plus anyway. It's just not with one person.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, talking from the therapist point of view, I can already tell you this is so much easier and better.
Is there a sequence? Is it? take me through it. Say if I was sort of going into the process, is there a sequence of things that you're identifying and working and in within those 28 days?
Yeah, Chris, like my German part will come out. Yes, I structure this.
Yeah, structure.
Ah, you call it the German part? Is that what it is?
We have like Monday, Wednesday, Friday mornings, especially in the mornings. We have like the trauma treatment. That's how we call this. Yeah. So intensive schema therapy. So we have this like 150 or 200 minutes blocks. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So let's say we could start at like 9 a.m. on Monday morning till around like noon. Same again on Wednesday morning. And then on Friday, maybe a bit of a longer session. Maybe start at 8 to 12 noon. So 200 minutes.
This is all one-on-one. This is all, there's not a group work. It's all one-on-one.
That's one-on-one. Yeah. So I would sit with them in the morning. I would like, we have all the morning. It's quite a relaxed environment. Often it's conducted at their villa where they have like some outdoor area or open living room. So it's quite grounding experience in their own comfort. It's quite relaxing. So no shoes, comfortable clothes. Yeah. We have like really like a safe place. Mm. And we know we have all morning with each other. And then on like the afternoon, there will be lunch and then we'd have those additional modules. For example, right now we have like one client that really likes like additional like breath work or Reiki, or even another client really goes for the massage and the acupuncture. More the body work. We have another client just finished, wanted to do something a bit more intensive. There was lots of anger, boxing. Mm. Said boxing.
Mm. Yeah, so you got like instead of a chair, you got like a boxing bag.
Yeah.
And you're like, tell your dad, no, like.
Yeah. Because justice and fairness, the whole
thing. Yeah.
That. Yeah. So it's like a lot of like release because I cannot. So whatever works, we would like make this quite bespoke, quite individual.
Mm.
Yeah. To have like the morning sessions are fixed and then have like those flex modules. So it's additional body work modules. We also have things like pottery or artwork. So, because this can be also quite helpful either as a mindfulness task, right? Mm. Or still to express. Yeah. Whatever like brought up.
Mm.
Yeah. To use like another angle, whether it's like emotions or visualize like a child mode. Yeah. Or visualize a critic mode. Yeah. To kind of like form this and deal with it. So, usually like we try to work like as a team. So, whatever happens in the morning, I would forward to the person seeing the client in the afternoon. So they actually could continue working on this.
So when you say 10 sessions a week, you're basically doing two sessions a day.
I do basically three sessions per week, but like 150 minutes.
Oh, they're longer sessions.
It's longer, right? So I have extended sessions instead of 50 minutes, it's 150, 150, 200, and it's three times a week.
And you integrate EMDR into this and other trauma treatments? Tell us about how you integrate that.
So I'm also like a certified EMDR therapist. Yeah. So I mean, I think you even like published an article about this, Chris, right? About like the...
Yeah, I'm particularly interested in this. Yeah, I'm a certified EMDR practitioner too.
He runs a course called Schema in EMDR, A Power Couple.
I'm on new ideas.
Yeah. I mean, I think, Chris, I'm fully on your side. I mean, I'm a huge forestander. I love both schema therapy and EMDR therapy. And they so beautifully go together. Sometimes it really depends on the client. It's a personal preference, but I can really see, even with this setup, how EMDR works really, really well because there is no pressure because you don't have this time pressure. And you can also set the different parts into a chair and do actually EMDR with the different parts. Yeah, instead of telling maybe to the critic mode, okay, no, you're not helpful anymore. Thank you for the past. You need to go away. You can actually really go into that critic mode and say, like, okay, what is really like preventing you to let go? What are you really scared? Why can you not let go of this, like in a child? Why can you not let the healthy adult take over? So I would even do some EMDR with the critic voice.
Yeah.
In that chair. So it's just like lots of opportunity to work with the different parts with either like the imagery rescripting, empty chair talk, or EMDR. But I would say like I would use all those three experiential techniques.
Yeah.
Quite equally. Yeah. Whenever it works, I would tap into them. We'll just need it in the moment.
Is it fair to say, Julia, that you, even though you're integrating all these things, that schemas and particularly the mode conceptualization is overarching for you?
Yeah. Yes. Yes. I think schema therapy is how the whole system is built, basically on schema therapy, this whole idea about really understanding the internal system. Yeah, really understanding like the child mode, really understanding the critic modes, the coping modes, really working through the system first. And then when we get the permission of all like the parts of the system, then we would go into the trauma work, right? To get in touch with those like more wounded parts. And again, we might just use imagery rescripting or go back into the scenes, or we just enhance or go with EMDR into this to desensitize a bit more. But for example, I would always finish with imagery rescripting by entering the scene, even though I'm using EMDR to give the corrective response, to enter as a healthy adult with like the client together to fix the scene and do what actually was really needed. Yeah. Instead of like the classic way in EMDR would by installing like an adaptive belief. Yeah. So instead, like even there, I would integrate schema therapy.
So you've got a lot of experience kind of applying either or imagery rescripting or EMDR processing to trauma memories. Can you say something about that process? Like, because sometimes you try one and then you switch, or do you hit them with both? I mean, this is something you have to make a choice.
Yeah, but also like, I think it really depends on like the coping mode of the client. So if someone is already like quite like accessible or feels like, okay, or quite imagery open, if this is even like a word or a terminology.
Very willing.
Yeah, willing.
That's like Chris's terminology, willing and able. Yeah.
But some clients, it might be, oh, so cognitive. They're almost like, we need to get them to this headspace to just get in touch with it. And then I said, like, EMDR is quite a smooth entrance.
Yeah. It's interesting you say that, because that's the way I see sometimes with integrating EMDR. It kind of goes under the radar sometimes, rather than getting a seat and make it crystallize it, dealing with a critic or a mode or a coping mode. You kind of just, because the nature of it being,
it's almost stealthy. Is that what you mean when you say radar?
Yeah,
stealthy.
Yeah, yeah. It's quite stealth-like. You kind of, because they're doing it themselves rather than you're trying to make an agenda to get rid of a mo. They're coming up with their own decisions and allowing them to come out there.
And trusting more the brain. You know, you just say something very important. I think that again, because we have time, we can also trust the process more. Even with EMDR, free association, or the rescripting, going into this, we don't have this pressure of needing to look at the clock all the time. So like there's so much more of an opportunity to say like, okay, what's that part when you go into it, or double dual attention? We can like go into this and say like, okay, that part, can you see this right now? Yeah, I see it. What do you see? How old is she or him or her, whatever? Oh yeah, 6 years old. Okay, how do you feel towards that part? Yeah, and that like we could even just go first with it in process. With some EMDR, but then again, then we're in the mode, we are connected, we are attuned to that wounded child part. And then like that's be done. Okay. Then the healthy part, supposedly healthy part, can actually do imagery rescripting with this part.
You know, Julia, I met a guy nearly a decade ago now, who first told me he was doing something called an intensive format of psychoanalysis, and he called it micro psychoanalysis. And this is when I first came into it, and I was like, what do you mean? He's like, well, I'm with them all day. And his thing was that people can only keep up their defenses for so long, right? And there's all sorts of ways in which, well, there are opportunities and there are also, I guess, cons to this kind of work. But I would like you to summarize, you know, what have you learned so far doing schema work in an intensive format like this? This is really quite unique. We don't run into a lot of people trying this out. So we want to learn from you. You know, what have you learned so far, especially maybe about the impact on the therapeutic relationship or the application of things like experiential techniques?
Yeah, no, that's good. And I also reflected upon this, because after a while you just realize like, okay, what's actually going on here? You want to reflect, you want to assess, even improve it. And I think like you just mentioned like something very important, everything is more intense. So like, but also like the trust attunement with the client is much quicker, can be easier maintained, but there's no avoidance. Yeah, but for both, for the client and the therapist. So it's not always easy, because...
So you don't get people fly 5 million miles to Bali just to avoid?
No. The people that do make this commitment to come here, first of all, the therapy motivation is quite high.
Yeah.
But when you, when you spend like so many hours together, or even be in that intensive format, like, and they're far away indeed from their from their setup, like the defenses break down very, very quickly, but also bring up feelings that maybe usually are hidden from the therapist. Because if you have this 1 minute or one session of 50 minutes, you keep it to like a certain topic, you won't have like maybe any problems that arises between the client and the therapist. Yeah. Or anything like that is like not working out or that is triggering. This might be like, I might not reply to a message because I didn't see this, or can be very, very small things, but quite significant, or I didn't check in another time, or I'm late. Yeah, or I acted a certain way when I left the session. Yeah, so like there's a lot of like things that maybe that would come up because those are projected in the therapeutic relationship. So a lot of like limited reparenting and working through trigger points and conflicts are actually happening within the therapist and the client relationship, where maybe in the more traditional way, you would work through this. Yeah, you would do the same, but a lot would happen outside of the therapy session. Yeah, so like there is, it's just a much higher level of this like limited reparenting part.
Do you find that like taking someone out of their natural environment, away from family, friends, life, how do you see that as impacting on things like what you just said? Do you think it's a
vulnerable child mode?
Yeah.
Immediately.
And I mean, it's good and bad, right? Like, but already on their arrival, I might talk to them previously online. We do the intakes. Quite like, I can see that healthy adult would talk to me probably. Yeah. In most of the cases. Yeah. So, and they would arrive in within hours. Yeah. They would, oh, I cannot find the light switch, or I'm not feeling safe, or maybe this is like a conspiracy. Yeah. Or like everything, like, so a lot of things like immediately come up. So just almost like upon arrival, you have that childhood and coping mode. So you can immediately like start.
Wow. Thinking. So there's less barriers, less of those detachment, avoidance. I guess you can't avoid if you've flown across the world.
No. Yeah.
I guess distractions as well. I would say there's less distractions or less drama or less
kids screaming, work demands, etc. I guess I was worried a little bit thinking about it, like the ecological validity part, like because to some degree, I just wonder if it's just a bit detached from the real life. Like maybe, you know, sometimes you get people say, oh, everything's been good this week. But here you go, yeah, I've been going to yoga, I've been doing good. You know, do you ever get people like that? They just kind of, I don't know. They're not in their life context that might be triggering them.
No, I mean, I almost wish maybe. I didn't see that because, as I said, like immediately, like if they come for like a reason, they thought about it wisely, there's definitely a lot to work on and things coming out. And I think like, yeah, it's absolutely not a holiday. It's very, very hard work. And from Monday to Friday, we also describe it as hard work. The weekend is to decompress, to see the island, to do something, right? Like to literally relax. Yeah. But Monday to Friday is really like therapy. Yeah. From the morning to the evening, even those other modules are considered.
Through to the evening.
Yeah. To like the evening. They have everything that might be in the morning, this one. Then they have art therapy in the afternoon and in the evening. Maybe they have like another Reiki session or a massage. So they have like the full day. Yeah.
Go through this.
And like it's hard work. And of course, like knowing, and I think you both know, like trauma therapy, lots is coming up.
The
process is quite tiring too.
Yeah.
So in a way, I wouldn't say more tiring than their life generally, right? Doing normal life was out of this. Yeah. But there's not like, that's not a holiday vibe or something.
It's an emotionally taxing, intense, compressed kind of moment. It sounds.
Yeah.
I mean, it does sound useful to think if you're going to be stirring up things and then you know they have yoga in the afternoon or they have some massage or something in the afternoon, that this would be potentially helpful. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And often they go a bit through a roller coaster during the day, right? Might start anxious and after a session they're better, then some anxiety comes back, then they feel absolutely great after a Reiki session. Yeah. And then some more stuff comes up or they got to.
Yeah, and I guess I'm curious though, Julia, like in the trauma processing, because often we would have to wait a week before we get some indications of processing. So we'd see them next week and they'd say, oh, I'm getting distancing from the memories or different things. I don't know, what's that been like for you, like being able to see them basically daily while processing? Do you see what I mean?
Yeah, but I believe it's very fast, right? Maybe this does come a little bit more from like the EMDR side, but like, what is it said? Like within, if it's done, it's done. Yeah. So like things are settling. If we went through the session, maybe we were able to fully go through it, whether it's desensitized and like re-script and it's like done, we even already know the next day, even like the hour after. Yeah. Or something is like not fully closed yet. So it might be more open. So it still needs maybe 24 hours up to 48 hours to settle a bit. But they also have the one day in between, right? The Tuesday, where things can still settle, where they can check it. Okay, this worked well, or I actually slept tonight. I didn't have any like nightmares, or I was able to wake up without anxiety, or I was able to this and that. Yeah, so like it's definitely possible to already check if it's working or not. And if something new comes up or it's not fully closed and we need to go back into that, we can just do that like then on the next day, right? Wednesday morning. So no need for suffering and prolonging it.
So what would you say the top advantages are? Because I would imagine a lot of people listening to this go, okay, oh, but I'm not sure. It doesn't fit the way that I do it. And it sounds like, you know, there is a lot of interest in, you know, like I said, there's a couple of different programs I know that do this. But what do you think for you the top, say, three advantages for working in this way?
Yeah. Yeah. Top three, just to keep it very short.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I do remember you said also before, yeah, it's better for the therapist. You said this.
Totally. Yeah, you know, just let me just go back like to just a few more words about the therapist, because I think like as a therapist, like it's so much more rewarding, yeah, because you can actually really work through this and like you see the progress. And this is like, again, almost like energizing for the client and for yourself. Right, to really get through this, so you know what you're doing and where this is like leading to. And then like another thing is like no switching between storylines, case conceptualizations, yeah. And like, so it's like one storyline you really understand the internal system of this part. And Rob, I think like we talked a lot about attunement, right? But you, even attunement is getting like a different level, because you can be truly attuned to all the parts of the client. Yeah. So like being like in the moment, in the room, even seeing subtle changes and understanding. Yeah, what's happening like with the client. So like this is definitely like one big advantage.
Yeah. And just as a technical thing, you're working with one person for those 28 days, or do you have a couple of people that you would work with over those 28 days? Because I'm just thinking of attunement. That's the classic kind of thing of like you got your caseload and you're going, hold on, is this dad or that dad or what happened here? Yeah. You know, so you're working with, tell me.
Yeah, you know, like for the intensive client, I only take one
person. Yeah. So you could see the level.
Yeah, so it really go with it. I do see some clients like separately, like online, an extended session, like a bit of a different model. But like the classic intensive 28 program, I only do one at a time.
They really get in there.
Like to be really like to be in it and have this attunement. But as I also said, just like one key thing from the point of the therapist is like, yeah, it also does trigger a lot your own things. So like, I mean, if a client is pushing certain buttons for yourself, there's also no escape. So I don't want to just make it like, oh.
So you get a month of, you know, of getting triggered.
Yes.
A helpless surrenderer, or, I mean, I guess that's another thing. We could probably talk about that in terms of the challenges, but.
Yeah. No, as I said, maybe I can talk about it in a second. So there, from the therapist point of view, so it has a lot of advantages. I absolutely love it. Yeah, it's also like a good recipe against burnout, because it's quite a few hours, but it doesn't feel like this. Mm-hmm. Yeah, have those 10 hours like with like one client. As I said, another big advantage is, I think, being able to really work with the internal system. Limited reparenting and all, like really giving all the parts enough space. And really
that's because you've got time, you're saying. You have the time to do it.
Yeah, and internal attachment, right? Really between the different parts, all those complicated relationships. Yeah, so we have really like the time and also like the safe place to work through this. Yeah, to get really in touch with all of them and understanding this. Another very, very big one. And the third advantage, if you ask me for three, is like, less avoidance and dropout. Yeah, so because like the setup, you don't really can drop out.
They can't really drop out. Yeah. What are you holding their passport or something? Is it?
Even the EMDR intensive literature shows like almost zero dropout.
Right.
Like the trauma treatment that can have quite a high level dropout because it's really hard work, as I said in the beginning, steering the wound and then, oh, wait a week, we go ahead with that.
Yeah. There's less time to contemplate, you know, and think about motivational elements.
Yes. It's much easier in a way to get through this. And now we also know like trauma has no timeline, right? It's not like, oh, you need to do it within a year or you need to do it slow or you need to wait a week.
Yeah. But it would create a little bit of pressure for them internally that well, we have a month and okay, we might spend a little bit of time getting ready, but the idea is to come here and to get some work done. So
Yes, indeed. Yeah. So I think like those three big things that can just bring schema therapy to almost, I feel like, a different level, especially when dealing with quite some, complexity either of trauma or quite an abundance of schemas, that or quite a fragmented internal system. Then I think like this is really, really helpful, to have this.
Okay. So I hate to be the pessimist. We should talk about the challenges too. Three challenges to schema therapy in this intensive format.
I think one I just almost raised, if you triggered, you triggered intensively and there's no escape. So very quickly, I think like it's important as a therapist to do your own work. And also maybe to understand if you can, which client might not be a good fit.
So screening important?
Yes, very, very important. And I still have to say, I think my screening is getting better and better, but sometimes you just don't know because, as I said, you might speak with a healthy adult in the intake and it goes through this, so the healthy adult might fill out all those forms and then you see.
You don't know until you know.
Yeah. So you're behaving.
As much as you know. To go with it. But I think it's important to go also with a gut feeling because I think in those like two or three clients where I felt like they were not a good fit, I kind of knew that already in the beginning. But sort of ignored this.
You ignored the gut feeling.
To go with that. Because
schema therapy in the gut. I wonder about like do you get everything, but do you get the more self-aggrandizing type clients, how that would work?
Yeah. You know, I think mostly not, because I don't think they would sign up for the 28 days intensive program.
So there's slight attrition, kind of a selective,
Selective bias
in terms of this. But the thing is it's obviously the intensity for those sorts of clients that are willing is just exactly what they need. It sounds like they're willing and want to do something, and it's just so well kind of streamlined. Instead of the barriers of having to wait for 2 years of seeing someone over and over and over again, 40 odd sessions and holidays and these sorts of things.
Yeah, even economically, Chris, right? Because like, I think like it makes, so to speak a bit like about a challenge and equally, I don't feel it's a real challenge, is like, okay, the scheduling, the planning, a bit more time and money up front. To do this, and you do need to make this extra time, and maybe not everyone can do that, or it needs to be planning ahead. But then considering like life quality and being able to or rescue your marriage or relationship or able to maintain your job or even progress in your job, like it is like actually you win a lot. Yeah. To do this in this intensive format than like dragging it out for 2 years and make.
Do you do any follow up? Like how does it work after the program? Do they?
I mean, I would follow up with them. And like just yesterday, I got a message from one client I've seen exactly a year ago. Yeah. And she's in Bali right now. She traveled again back here to do some yoga workshop and to like meet up. And so if there's an opportunity, of course, I would even like can now follow them up to a year. She was one of my first. It's like the setup. And it's quite nice to see how things were settling. But I would also do this definitely feel like sometimes 2 weeks after, like a month after, maybe check in after 6 months. Everything is settling. But I have to say when things were like finished and we achieved our goals, those are usually fine. But just when they go back into their life of application. And sometimes, not only sometimes, it's a big application. Because what it means like they went through a lot, but the environment didn't. right? Yeah. So out of a sudden, they might come back and say, like, okay, why am I still in this relationship? Mm-hmm. Actually, I now learned it's okay to have needs. Yeah. And then I realized I was only with my partner because of that fear or this trauma. So, like, it might rock a bit the boat. Yeah. So I almost felt like maybe I need to put a little disclaimer on this. I mean, you want change, and probably the change will happen.
Yeah.
So this also affect
your
original setup before you come to this retreat.
I mean, I'm imagining also that you do get some people going, oh, what happens if they fall apart while you're doing processing, this sort of stuff. I mean, I don't necessarily subscribe to that view, but, you know, what's your experience with people kind of being, you know, having complex trauma needs and having, you know, severe difficulties.
Mm. Or even risk issues while you're in Bali, or, yeah, how do you manage this?
Again, I think overall it's much safer, the setup, than actually have individual 50-minute session, letting people come to the office and let them go home, because I do the same work, right? But there's absolutely no support.
Yeah.
So, like, and we really have the longer sessions. I always make sure, even just less, like, taking care of the inner child before we would close a session. Yeah, again, because we have this opportunity, we have the time. And also, again, nothing will stay really much open, or the client won't be really alone till we have
set
the Wednesday. So, like, the safety risk is actually much lower. And again, it's an EMDR paper, but with severe complex PTSD, borderline personality disorder, they found, like, it was extremely safe to do this kind
with the intensive format
of EMDR intensives, yeah, compared to, like, the weekly setup, because much lower chance of actually decreasing.
There's a lot more support. There's a lot more support in, you know, in the intensive setup.
Yeah. And so, like, from the safety risk, I really have no concerns, rather like the opposite.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. What is there? We also have an option of, like, adding full-time staff to the client. Mm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Our full-time staff option. Or,
you know,
yeah.
Julia, you mentioned a few times the word we,
yeah,
as though it's not just you. And I know you have you're working with other people, like yoga instructors and art therapists and things. Is it more than just you? I mean, is it just you over there doing this, or you have other therapists over there?
Yes and no. So, like, I work, like, together in collaboration with, like, an actual substance and alcohol abuse clinic called, like, Lighthouse. So they have their own program. And, like, the trauma program is basically like a parallel program.
Okay.
So when I say we, I almost, like, refer to this whole, like,
the overarching clinic.
Yeah. So to do this, so we're sharing the hospitality aspect and some of the logistics of those additional modules. Yeah. So, like, and quite a few clients actually that went through the addiction process, like, or the recovery detox phase. I would say they need to do this at least for 2 weeks, but then they can also transfer to the trauma program. Yeah, to do this, especially when there's quite a bit of underlying trauma. So they do need to be sober or clean. Yeah, like, and not in any active addiction or active withdrawal or detox. But then I think, like, okay, why not immediately refer them to the trauma program, especially if their substance abuse is quite trauma driven. Yeah, to immediately, like, work through this. So that's when I say we, indeed, I see this as, like, the Lighthouse Asset 2 programs. And, like, at this moment, I'm building, basically extending the program to training more therapists in the setup, like psychologists. Yeah. And we already had 2 or 3 other visiting psychologists that are currently with us that would come in for, like, a month. Yeah.
And so you have therapists come and work with you, take on a client for a month?
Yeah, I call them the jumping therapists. Yeah, because they literally would jump in for, like 28-day program.
Yeah.
So what's your take in terms of the, you know, intensive format? Do you think it's for everyone? Do you think we all need to change our ways in terms of maybe not doing the whole residential thing, but what's your take in terms of intensity and intensive formats of, you know, schema work?
I think, first of all, probably it's for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, and even if you might want to try out yourself, so, like, oh, it's actually really great. And then 50 minutes might feel very short to you if you switch back.
Mm.
Yeah, it was like, because you don't have the ins and outs and just a different level, right, of productivity. But I can also see clients that have absolutely no window of tolerance, which is so tiny that they cannot tolerate anything. So, like, the longer sessions, of course, will be even more confronting. then would not work. So they need to be at like a certain level to be able to, yeah, tolerate distress or being able to come back into the present moment. Yeah, it's okay to go away in hyper or hypoarousal. I mean, that's very normal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, to be able to ground or to come back or have this like, opportunity or to basically sort of like, again, in any form or shape, be able to take care of those feelings of distress and knowing what to do. So there must be like this tiny little bit of healthy power that knows how to regulate distress or coming back into the window of tolerance. And if that's not the case and you have this longer session, it will be just very, very difficult to work through this.
So who would benefit the most, you think, in terms of intensive type work?
Everyone who is ready to do the work. And this sounds a bit easy. And but like everyone that like, and often my clients do have quite a bit of a history of therapy. So, I had this therapy or I had that therapy, or I started to work through this one. Yeah, and now I'm ready to do this. I really want to get through this. I know my problem. I really want to do this. Yeah, I have like the time. I make the time for this. They're not an active crisis. I think active crisis is also not good either. Yeah,
This is the screening thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're working on this now, aren't you? The sort of the ideal screening process for the intensives in Bali.
Yeah, indeed. So as I say, like. I think like you will get a feeling for this listening to like the gut feeling. There must be some level of being able to do therapy, staying present, right? Being in touch with your body as in any other therapy. And then I think like it can be really, really beneficial to have like at least extended session.
So here we go, Julia. Yeah, keep going.
Instead of making it intensive, you can go from to extended first and then we can make it intensive.
Mm-hmm. So now we know Julia has a maximum of 12 clients a year. All right.
I wish, Rob, I wish.
Well, we should say something because you wrote a book recently with your colleague called Emotional Needs. It's a schema therapy-based children's book. So we should say something about that as well. Julia, can you tell us a little bit about your book?
Yeah. Thank you again for bringing this up. I think it really came out of intensive schema therapy and working all day with the inner child. Yeah, because when you keep on working with the most vulnerable parts, inner child coming up and up and up. And then I understand, especially with complex trauma, that if you were not allowed to have needs, clients wouldn't even know what are actually emotional needs. What are actually 5 emotional needs? Yeah, so neither like the vulnerable child can express nor the healthy adult has any idea, what to do with that. So, and especially again with attachment trauma, the clients had never had the opportunity to learn and feel that. Yeah, so no role model. So this book is like a kid's book with the ideal age range between 6 to 9 years old. But this being said, so this is partly a preventative approach to teaching children about emotional needs and how to take care of them and how to express them, which I think is very important. But then also equally, I use that book actually a lot with my adult clients. And sometimes, especially when they sit in this chair of the child mode or even have one page where it's a summary of all the 5 needs. And I would put this in front of them and say like, okay, if you now listen to yourself, well, what is missing? What is missing right now? What would you really like to receive right now from this other part? Yeah, so this book can be also quite helpful for inner children. but it's like, written and illustrated as a kid's book, which makes this quite
different. It is a beautiful book, and I had the pleasure of reviewing it before you published it as a lovely book. I am curious about the response. What's the kind of response you've had?
Yeah, I mean, a very good response, I have to say. I think, like, we quite a few reviews, like, and people really like to use it for children. I think, like, some therapists are not used yet to use a children's book with adults or in this way. more child work.
For Julia, no problem. as soon as they're in the child mode, the book's coming out.
Yeah, indeed. If it's a child mode, we can use kids' material and kids' books.
Yeah, Christoph does this a lot too. Christoph does this too with his child and adolescent work. Yeah.
Yeah.
Where can people get hold of it? Where can people access the book, buy the book?
Yeah, I think like it's even possible with Amazon Australia. Yeah, you can download this. Yeah, it's like even in the Amazon store over there. And I'm very happy, to share like a link or also my LinkedIn profile, where you can then direct it to this.
Well, that might be good, Julia. Just before we wrap up, what's the best way for people to get in contact with you?
Yeah, I think the best way is through my LinkedIn profile. Yeah, because there people see like the parts of the book, but about the...
So if they just search for Julia Andre, Bali, I don't know. So technically you're a Hong Konger still. Technically you're, is that right?
My heart still a bit, I'm a permanent resident of Hong Kong. Yeah, so
right.
Yeah, but if they go for Julia Alicia Andre or Julia Andre, I think they will find me.
Yeah.
Well, Julia, thank you so much. It's really pioneering kind of work. And I think, you know, it's really so interesting to hear new novel, new ways that people work, which seem to be really helpful for our clients. So, look, thanks for sharing the last hour.
Totally.
Us.
And I really love it. It's so inspiring that folks that have, you know, originally done our workshop sort of 6 years ago, and then they're sort of going on to pioneer and do so many cool things. It's really, really cool. Thanks for coming on, Julia.
Goodbye, Chris. Goodbye, Rob.
So, Rob, what did you make of that? That was a very interesting conversation.
Yeah. I think Julia is a very interesting therapist and an engaging person. I think she's sort of on the cutting edge of schema therapy in this intensive settings.
It's nice to see people kind of adapting stuff. I think it's you know, you get stuck with the routine work and the set formula. And I do like seeing people kind of mixing things up and, you know, at least at a case by case basis, you're having some progress and some, you know, some success.
I've always been, you know, curious about how we got to this format of, you know, the 60-minute session. You almost imagine that in the beginning it was with a white trench coat, you know, the tradition of psychotherapy on the couch or whatever, you know, and you see them in this clinical setting for an hour a week if you're lucky, and then they go out into their lives. So I've always been interested in other formats, you know, seeing people more in their natural settings or outside of the more traditional format, you know, because, well, we don't know if seeing people in that clinical format is the only way to help, but it's almost only been the way we've evaluated treatments. So I'm really excited to see some of that. And it seems that she's drawing on, you know, a bit of a movement within trauma treatment coming out of places like the United States and in particular Europe, you know, where they're trying more intensive formats. I think you could mention things like EMDR 2.0 and the researcher over there, De Jong. For example, who have been doing these more intensive formats of inpatient stuff and you know, processing for 7 days and this kind of stuff. So, yeah, I think she's onto something there. The only caveat I would say for now is also we don't have enough research on this kind of thing as well. So I'd really love to see this kind of thing also researched along the way so we could understand, you know, who might benefit most from this kind of thing. Any other notes from you?
Yeah. Oh, I thought the other thing that I liked was just the triaging idea that, you know, getting, I think there's a bit of discussion in that in terms of readiness for change or where people are at. And that could be also applied to, you know, just individual therapy in a standard, you know, standard format. You know, she seems to have a bit of time kind of listening and working out whether this person's, you know, ready to get on a plane and meet with her. But I think that concept could be quite useful in other settings too. So, yeah.
The screening piece. And just, you know, this idea that everything is kind of heightened, like the shifts you can get in a month are heightened.
Yeah,
because of how intense it is. Everything's intense. I guess that's what she was. The message is, you know,
and
if you have a rupture, this is more intense. Like if you had a rupture and you're hanging out with someone for a month,
And it wasn't so clear whether it's sustained, and that's the thing that obviously is the big part of the, you know, the, you get this intense feeling, but whether it, you know, a year later, I go, you know what, that really did make a difference in my life compared to I just had all this, you know, this massive binge and all these experiences. And, you know, I got the feeling from her that she did feel like that was something that was very useful and was sustained. But again, going back to the evidence base, you know, trying to build that.
And the other piece is just the in your daily life piece, because so often with the pattern breaking, you're doing a lot of the trauma focused work and the processing traumas and things and the imagery work. But it is important to get concrete changes in your daily life.
Yeah.
So I was kind of wondering, you know, usually in schema, we'd have some time to say, hey, what are you going to try out this new behavior? Yeah. And you come back and we talk about how you went. Yeah. It feels like that would be missing to a degree, of course, if you're only doing the therapy in Bali, you know, for example. Yeah. So I know the answer to this. She does a bit of follow-up stuff and, you know, by Zoom and telehealth. So, but there's a few thoughts.
Interesting conversation. So listen, if you ever have any, ideas for future podcasts, feel free to drop us an email at info@schematherapytraining.com. We're always very interested to hear your suggestions. Rob, thanks for spending some time.
Too easy. And we'll see you soon. Chris. See you soon, guys.